Jamuna Tira Bhana Chadivi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Shishi Ganda Rekha Girit Hare Ki Jai. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, continuing with texts 28 and 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudeva Parava Vasudeva Paraveda. Vasudeva Paramaka.
Vasudeva Paramaka.
Vasudeva para yoga.
Vasudeva para yoga.
Vasudeva para kriya.
Vasudeva para kriya.
Vasudeva param gyanam.
Vasudeva param gyanam.
Vasudeva param tapa.
Vasudeva param tapa.
Vasudeva para dharma.
Vasudeva para dharma.
Vasudeva para gati.
Vasudeva para gati.
In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. Yoga is for realizing him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know him. Religion, Dharma, is rendering loving service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. One may argue that the Vedic activities are based on sacrificial ceremonies. That is true. But all such sacrifices are also meant for realizing the truth about Vasudeva. Another name of Vasudeva is Yajna sacrifice. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that all sacrifices and all activities are to be conducted for the satisfaction of Yajna, or Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. This is the case also with the yoga systems. Yoga means to get in touch with the Supreme Lord. The process, however, includes several bodily features, such as asana, dhyana, pranayama, and meditation. And all of them are meant for concentrating upon the localized aspect of Vasudeva, represented as Paramatma. Paramatma realization is but partial realization of Vasudeva, and if one is successful in that attempt, one realizes Vasudeva in full. But by ill luck, most yogis are stranded by the powers of mysticism achieved through the bodily process. Ill-fated yogis are given a chance in the next birth by being placed in the families of good, learned Brahmins or in the families of rich merchants in order to execute the unfinished task of Vasudeva realization. If such fortunate brahmanas and sons of rich men properly utilize the chance, they can easily realize Vasudeva by good association with saintly persons. Unfortunately, such preferred persons are captivated again by the material wealth and honor, and thus they practically forget the aim of life. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshurimilitam Jena Tasmai Sigadave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Nama Hare Nama 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 Hare. So we have been discussing the last 2 days, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, and then yesterday Prahlad discussed Vasudeva Para Vedha, that in the revealed scriptures it stated that the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So the next line in this famous verse 28 is Vasudeva Para Mukha. Mukha is another way of saying sacrifices. So Prabhupada, he translates, the purpose of performing sacrifice is to please him. This is stated throughout the Vedic scriptures that Krishna is the ultimate object of sacrifice. There's a famous shloka from Rig Veda, Yajna Vai Vishnu, that ultimately yajna or sacrifice is meant to please Lord Vishnu or Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. And as we've stated many times, yajna is a very important principle in Vedic culture for the material and ultimately the spiritual prosperity of human society. Prabhupada points out in a purport here in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that there's a very intimate connection between human society, demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is that intimate connection? The intimate connection is that human society is dependent. We are not independent. We are dependent for our basic necessities of life, which come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, through the agency of the demigods. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekubahanam yovadidati kamam. First of all, we have to understand. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekubahanam yovadidati kamam. That out of all the eternal beings, there is one. Eka means one. Nitya nityanam chaitanas ekobahanam yovadidati kamam, who is fulfilling the desires of everyone. Who is that eka? That is Krishna. And how is he doing it? He's doing it through the agency of the demigods, providing the basic material necessities of life. Prabhupada informs us that Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world with his unalloyed, fully surrendered devotees. He doesn't become directly involved in this, as Prabhupada called it one time, this nasty material world. He deputes certain jivas who are very, very pious, and called devas. He deputes them, he delegates the responsibility of this material creation to them. Krishna doesn't have much to do with this. Actually, he never even comes in contact with this material world. How then does he create this material world? How does he place living entities into this material world? That's a very intimate thing. When you think of union between a man and a woman, it's a very intimate thing to conceive a child. So how does Krishna place the living entities into the garbha or the womb of material nature without contact? If he doesn't come in contact with the material world, he does it through his glance. He looks. And by his looking, the living entities are impregnated into the womb of material nature. But Shastra says that glance, even that glance, Krishna doesn't even come in contact indirectly with the material nature. That glance personified is Shiva, Shambhu. Krishna's glance becomes personified as Shambhu, Shiva. In this way, Krishna has no contact with the material energy. So how does it all go on then? He deputes, he gives, he delegates responsibility. So he just has time to play with the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. This is expert management, Prabhupada said. At the manager, he becomes a leader, not a manager. He becomes the inspiration. Just like things are so nicely arranged on this tour now, by the mercy of our tour committee, Varanayaka Prabhu Ki, Sri Prahlad Prabhu, Nandini and Radhasaki Vrinda, they have arranged things so nicely that practically I just have time for reading and chanting and going on Harinam, associating with the devotees. This was all their plan, their undeclared plan, so that Gurudev didn't have to get in anxiety and worry about all the details and this and that. So they got together and they made this plan, and they're doing things so nicely, so smoothly, that, you know, really, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Now I have time to sit and chant japa with the devotees in the morning. I can give Bhagavatam classes. Last year there was just a few classes like this. So this is expert management, where the leader is free for giving leadership, not having to do all the practical things himself, but he can give the leadership, he can give the inspiration. Give the inspiration. So it's something like that with Krishna in a perfected sense, that Krishna is just the leader. He doesn't have to do all the management. Why should Krishna have to do all the work in this world? He's God. He's so expert. Why would he have to be involved in all the details and the management? No, he's free to play all day in Braj with his devotees. And the demigods, they're doing all the management. They're getting all the headaches. Management means headache. Sometimes people, they envious. They want to be the manager, right? Manager means big headache. So many problems. Because material life means there's so many. Management means dealing with all the material problems, organizing in such a way that goes on smoothly. But it's going to be headache. Krishna doesn't want to do that. Just like in American history, not history but fiction, one writer, Mark Twain, he wrote about Tom Sawyer. He was the hero of every American boy. He played hooky all day long. He never went to school. Tom Sawyer, he wrote about Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer, his parents told him, you know, you can't go play today. You have to stay home and paint the fence white. We call it whitewashing the fence. The big bucket of paint, he was there, you know. Oh. And his group of his boyfriends, they walked by, and they said, ha 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 ha, you have to stay here and paint. He goes, no, you don't know how nice it is. This paint, look, shoo, shoo, shoo. If you pay me each $1, I'll let you paint. And he tricked the boys like that. Oh, okay, okay. And they gave him $1 each, and they ended up painting the whole fence, and Tom went swimming. So Krishna's like that. He doesn't do the work. He might have to, but the demigods who are devotees, but they still have some material desires. The Prakriti Bhaktas. They're Bhaktas, they're devotees, they want to serve Krishna, but their devotion to Krishna is mixed. It's not Annibilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Narvitam Anukalena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktarutama. Their devotion, their bhakti, their bhav, their love for Krishna is not, you know, everything for Krishna, nothing for me. It's a little bit for Krishna, a little bit for me. It's kind of this mixed, you know. I want to serve Krishna, but I also have my independent material desires. They have a desire to control. So Krishna says, all right, you're my devotee, so I don't want to employ the demons in administrating this universe. We don't want Hiranyakashipu in charge, or Ravana. So he says, all right, you're my devotee, so you still have this propensity to control. So here, Varuna, you control the oceans. Indra, you control the rain. Vibhishwan, you control the sun. Brahma, you control the whole thing. Engineer of the universe. In this way, he engages them in devotional service, and they become gradually purified of their independent desires. This is the point. We're devotees, and through the process of devotional service, we're becoming purified of these independent desires. So the demigods are, the function of the material creation is, especially the universe, the different universes, they are, the demigods are in charge of it. They're demigods. This is a Greek word, actually. Demigod. Demi means half. They're not gods. They're half gods. They're not gods. They're half gods. No one can become God. God is always God. You don't become God. This is the illusion of some of the yoga practitioners. I'm going to become God. God is always God. Krishna was God when he was just a little boy. Shankatashuri, he was just a little baby. He kicked over the cart. All the pots and pans fell. He was only a little baby, and a big demon came out. Krishna killed that demon. He killed Putana. He killed Agashur, Trunivarta. He was God from the very beginning, Prabhupada. But these personalities, these posts that the jiva can attain, this is demigod. And how do we understand demigod? Because their powers come from Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanaka. There's one supreme Ishvara. Param means supreme. Ishvara Parama Brahma, Ishvara Parama Indra, Ishvara Parama Ganesh, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the supreme control. And all those great personalities are subordinate to him. But they're happy being subordinate to him, because they're his loving servitors. People don't know the bliss of being the servant of Hari, the servant of Guru, the servant of Vaishnava. People don't know the bliss that is there in being the servant of these exalted personalities. They have to be servants of mundane family members. They have to be servants of mundane bosses. They have to be servants of mundane humanity. There's no ras in that. There's no reciprocation. But if you're servant of Hari, if you're servant of Guru, if you're servant of Vaishnava, oh, madhur, madhur, madhur bhaje. This is very sweet. This is very satisfying. This is our natural constitutional position. So devas, they like being the servants of Krishna. It's not like some big managerial headache. They burden of love. They like to be servants of Krishna. And they're under no illusion from where their powers are coming. But human society, because of lack of proper spiritual education, they sometimes think, oh, these devas are supreme. Because they may not have heard the glories of Vrindavan Krishna. They think, oh, these devas, they are supreme. So part of our preaching in India, not so much in the West, is to establish Krishna as the supreme Ishtadeva, the supreme worshipable personality of Godhead, by pointing out in so many situations how the demigods are subordinate. Sometimes they also forget, because material energy is very powerful. Brahma, his subordination to Krishna was shown by the fact that one time he was watching Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He would say, oh, this Krishna is just a little boy, and he's displaying some quite amazing characteristics. So just to play a trick on him, Brahma one time stole all of Krishna's cows and all of Krishna's boyfriends. He took them and he hid them away. He thought he had tricked Krishna. But Krishna is no ordinary boy. He's the supreme personality of God. And so what did Krishna do? He expanded himself as all the cows. He expanded himself as all the boys, and his pastimes went on just as if nothing happened. And when Brahma returned, 1 year later, he was amazed. What? Wait. I thought I took all the boys. Whoa, Krishna. You expanded yourself as all the cows and all the boys. And this way he became submissive. Oh, excuse me, Krishna. I'm sorry that I thought of you as an ordinary. Thought myself greater than you. Indra, he actually became envious. Because, as we know, in Govardhan Leela, Krishna was... The cowherd men, they were going to perform a sacrifice to thank Indra for all the rain that he was... So they... This is a tradition. They were saying, thank Indra. Indra Puja. So then Krishna, he went to his father. He said, Pita, there's no necessity of performing this Indra Puja. Let's just worship Govardhan Hill, because it's, you can see, it's actually Govardhan Hill that gives us all the things we require, the soft grasses for our cows and the fruits and the vegetables and nice fresh water coming down from Giriyash, and, you know, nice caves to play in. The source of all our benefit is actually Govardhan Hill. Let's not worship Indra. Let's worship Govardhan Hill. So he convinced his father and the cowherd men, so they, instead of offering all that yogic paraphernalia to Indra, they went and they worshipped Govardhan Hill. And Krishna himself became Govardhan Hill and accepted all their offerings. Indra, he became... Krishna was trying to explain many things in this pastime, but one thing was that Ishvara Panama Krishna, he is supreme even to Indra. And Indra became very angry, and of course he called for his, what type of clouds? The grandfathers of these clouds? Samvartaka clouds. Fortunately, they're not Samvartaka clouds. They're little cousins. And those clouds came and inundated Vrindavan, and Krishna lifted the Giriyaj, Govardhan Hill, and protected the residents of Vrindavan. So Indra also learned his lesson. Shiva, Shiva, especially Shiva, when you go to India and you're preaching Krishna consciousness. None of you have had this opportunity, but you have to be quite sharp to preach in India. Not so many people will say Brahma is supreme or Indra is supreme, but they will say Shiva, because in Shiva Purana, like we have our Bhagavat Purana, Bhagavat refers to Bhagavan Krishna, that is Shiva Purana, because he's so great, Shiva. His glories are known throughout the three worlds, Shiva. Sometimes, he is supreme, Shiva. But one time Shiva and Krishna had a fight, and Shiva took out his weapon of fire, threw it at Krishna, and Krishna counteracted it with what? A cold weapon. And which one? The cold weapon won. And Prabhupada explains, he says, because you can tolerate heat. You know, it may get very, very hot, and you can tolerate heat, but it's really hard to tolerate cold. Did you ever take a cold shower? Maybe in the last few days. You've taken a cold shower. So cold ultimately defeats the heat. This is how Prabhupada explains it. So Narayan, he defeated Shiva. He was more powerful. Shiva. You go right to the list of demigods, you'll see. Ganesh, he's also very popular. Everyone likes little Ganesh. He's so cute, his little elephant head. Ganeshji. He removes all obstacles. He's protector. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he removes the obstacles on the path of devotion. What are the obstacles that come between us and Krishna? What are the obstacles by which we cannot offer Krishna Amnibilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmanavitam? Or Savai Pumsham Padad Yato Bhakt Ahaitukiya Patiya to unmotivated pure service. What's stopping us from going before Gandharvika Giridhari and offering pure prayers with tears streaming from our eyes, like Prabhupada did? What's stopping us from that? The lust, the anger, the greed that are there is there within our heart. These are obstacles. We're Vaishnavas. We want to serve Krishna. But what type of service do we want? To offer pure service. What is stopping us? Our lust, our anger, our greed. So we are incapable of removing these obstacles from our hearts by ourselves. Otherwise, we would just, right now, just kick them out of our hearts. Kick out the lust from your heart, Chaitanya Das. Kick out the anger from your heart, Shanti. Chaitam, take out the greed from your heart. But we can't do it, because we're just tiny jivatmas. We're just tiny jivatmas. Our hands are tied. So we have to approach someone whose hands are not tied. Can you please? Yes. Take out. Who is that? These are great personalities. They're great personalities. They're very compassionate, and this is their business. They wander the world. They're traveling mendicants, as described in Bhagavad. They wander the world for this purpose, for the spiritual welfare of human society. And one of those personalities is Ganesh. Prabhupada says in a purport in Chaitanya, or in Nectar of Devotion, they want you to immediately take up the worship of Ganesh. Immediately take up the worship of Ganesh. Oh. Why? Because Ganesh can remove the obstacles between you and Krishna. He can remove that lust, that anger, and the greed. He's deputed like that. He has that power to do that. So when one of my godbrothers read this, he went to Sridhar Prabhupada with a deity of Ganesh. They're all over India. It's really hard to find deities of Nrisingadeva, but you can always find a deity of Ganesh. This big belly and a little rat there at his feet. Can I worship this deity? I said, oh, you can worship Ganesh. He said, but you must bring me $100,000 a month. Because this is what, you know, worshipping Ganesh means that, you know, Ganesh is a demigod, and he's giving his benedictions like this. So he said, if you worship Ganesh, then he'll help you. He's bestower of many opulences, and you must bring me $100,000 a month. That's what I say. You know, just like sometimes they bring before, Gurudev, can I worship Gornitai? Gurudev, can I worship Lakshmi Nisringa? Gurudev, can I worship Govardhan Shila? They say, can I worship Ganesh? $100,000,000, or $100,000. So he said, I'll put him back in the store. He couldn't do it. But we need the blessings. So how do we do it then? Prabhupada said you should immediately take up the worship of Ganesh, because what's the use of approaching Krishna in an impure state? We want to approach Krishna. Who are we to approach Krishna with our contaminated hearts? It's like a very mundane example. A boy asks a girl to go out for a date, and he shows up at her house, and he hasn't bathed in 3 months. He hasn't brushed his teeth in 6 months. He hasn't changed his clothes in 3 years. Hi! Oh, God! You would expect that he would be bathed, fresh, clean clothes, and nice, some flowers. It's a very mundane example. So we want to approach Krishna. We're chanting every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Give me service, oh, yeah. But then purify your heart. Be sincere in the process of devotional service. The ultimate goal of devotional service is to engage in the intimate, confidential, loving service of Krishna and his intimate devotees in the spiritual world. You're not going to get there if you maintain the lust, the anger, and the greed. So Prabhupada said, immediately begin the worship of Ganesh. Well, I don't have $100,000. I mean, I didn't have 100 zlotys. I don't even have 10 rubles. I had to use it to get here to the tour. So what to do? Well, we take shelter of Lord Narasimha Bhagavan. And Ganesh, he gets his power from the Sringa. This is the idea. The Tumuli, he's got these two little like kind of antennas, Ganesh, boing, on his head like this. Those antennas are on the feet of Narasimha Bhagavan. Narasimha is like this, sitting like this, and Ganesh is at his feet. That's why I have one Shila of Ganesh, a red and black Shila. And if you've ever seen, if you look closely the last time I had the deities on the altar, you saw that little red and black Shila was at the base of Nisringadev's Sringasan. And just touching the head at the feet, that Ganesh is just touching the feet of Nisringadev, because where does he get his power from? He's a powerful demigod. He can remove obstacles in the path of devotion, but where does he get his power from? He gets his power from the Ishtadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narasimha Bhagavan. So we take shelter of Ganesh, but we understand that he's getting his power from Krishna. So Brahma, Indra, Shiva, Ganesh, it's another demigod. Another demigod, Varuna. One is in charge of the ocean. The ocean. So one day, on Dvadasi, the day after Ekadasi, Nanda Maharaj, in Braj, in Vrindavan, he went to take his bath. But he miscalculated a little bit. He came a little too early, because one should not bathe in the rivers, especially the sacred rivers. It's considered inauspicious if you bathe before the rays of the sun appear. Just like Srimati Tulsi Devi. Srimati Tulsi Devi, we cannot make any offering to Krishna without the sacred Tulsi leaves, because Tulsi Devi is so dear to Krishna. And we have to pick the leaves, but you can't pick the leaves after dark. You have to pick the leaves during the day. You have to pick the leaves the day before, actually. You can't go out in the early morning and in dark, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and pick Tulsi Devi's leaves. It's not correct. She's sleeping. You pick her leaves like somebody picking you when you're asleep, you know. When she's awake, and you say your prayers, my dear mother Tulsi, please allow me to take your leaves for worshipping your Lord Vishnu, Krishna. So Tulsi leaves are never to be picked in the dark. They have to be picked during the light when the sun is up, just up. So Nanda Maharashi went down to the river to bathe, and he went into the water a few moments before the sun rays appeared. So he was captured by one of the agents or one of the representatives of Varuna. And he was taken to the abode of Varuna. And he was kept prisoner there. And when Krishna heard that his father, actually he didn't know, his father had disappeared in the water. And all of Braj was upset, because Nanda Baba, he's the king of the cowherds. Like if the king disappears, it's great. Oh. So he disappeared. So Krishna went with Balaram, they went into the water, and they went to the abode of Varuna. And Krishna said, do you have my father? Yes, I'm sorry. And then Varuna, he paid full dandabats in the water. He paid full dandabats to Krishna. He said, you can have your father back. Like this. It sounds like a little story, but actually there's deep significance to it, that the demigods are all subordinate to Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, although they're very powerful. And Nanda Baba, he was looking like, what's going on? This Varuna is a great demigod. He's offering obeisances to my little boy. He couldn't understand. Why? Because Nanda Baba, he's covered by Yoga Maya. And the Yoga Maya causes him to forget that his son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because if he realized his son was that, he's already offering so much respects to the Deva, to the demigod, the half-god. Imagine if he realized that his son was the God, the full-fledged Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, Bhagyavan, the owner of all opulences. He wouldn't be able to relate to him as his son. He would just, and then their relationship would be impeded, the intimacy of love there. So he was just thinking, this is amazing, that this Varuna is offering obeisances to my son. It must be because my son is so wonderful. But he didn't realize it. Even Yoga Maya, she served Purnamasi in Vrindavan, she even causes Krishna to forget he's God. It's not just the residents of Braj are forgetting that Krishna's God. Even Krishna is sometimes forgetting that he's God. And of course, Purnamasi's his devotee. Of course, Purnamasi's, the cowherd boys and Radha and her shakis and like that, they're all manifestations of Krishna, they're expansions of Krishna. So actually, Krishna has Purnamasi, if you really want to get into it, he's arranging all that. But anyway, the point is that he sometimes forgets he's God as well, this, so that the intimacy of love can go on in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So, let's see, let's take another demigod. We got 1 minute left. One demigod, Yamaraj. Yamaraj. Bing. Yamaraj, one time Krishna, the custom is that one should always give dakshin to one's well-wishers, to those who either support one or maintain one or give their blessings to one. We shouldn't receive gifts without acknowledging that in return. And that is the point of yajna, which I will conclude with that. But we should always acknowledge, you know, like in Vedic culture, your parents, if your parents were devotees and maintaining you materially, then the children would always pay obeisances to their parents. They touch the feet of, you see, even today in Hindu homes, children get up, they run to their bedroom, they touch Papa and Mata's feet, and then they begin their day, acknowledging that they're getting mercy from, they're being maintained from and getting mercy from these personalities. So, Krishna and Balaram studied in the Gurukul of Shandapani Muni. Although God is the source of all knowledge, to set an example for human society again, he acts like an ordinary person to teach us how to become God-conscious. So he went to the Gurukul, Krishna, and when Gurukul was finished, he went before his teacher, Shandipani Muni. He said, what dakshina can I give you? And Prabhupada points out that one can never actually repay the debt to one's guru. It's not like the parents are giving you some material facilities, so in their old age, you maintain them. This is how you give dakshin to your parents. They maintained you materially when you were young. And now when they are old, which is again like becoming young because you become dependent. Old people are like children actually. They completely are dependent upon others. So now, as dakshin, you maintain your parents. So, but how to repay this debt? Divya gyan vide pakashito. This gift of divine knowledge that we get from our spiritual masters, this knowledge by which we conquer over the repetition of birth and death, and all that that means, birth, death, disease, old age, suffering, bewilderment, illusion, and we get the opportunity to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. That type of gift, what you can do to acknowledge that, to pay that, that is very difficult. But still, one has to try, and one tries by assisting the spiritual master in his service to Krishna, in this world and in the next world. Eternally, we're servants, repaying that valuable gem of Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge. So Krishna went before his guru, Shandipani Muni. He said, Guruji, what I can do? So his wife, like you see in the play, I love that part of the play, where the servants of Kamsa in the Lilamrita. So the wife, just before Krishna and Balaram had come to ask Shandipani Muni what dakshin they could give, the son of Shandipani Muni and his wife had died in the ocean. He died in an accident in the ocean. So, can I get my son back? So Krishna said, yes, I will give dakshin. You are my guru. I give you dakshin. Immediately with Krishna and Balaram, they went to the ocean. They dove in the ocean and they went to Varuna. Now, you have taken my pita before. Now you have taken the son of my teacher. Oh, no, no. I would not make that mistake. I realize you're glorious. I would not make the same mistake twice. And where is that? Oh, he was taken by this demon, Panchajanya. Panchajanya is a big... He lived in a shell, on a conch. So Krishna went and he fought with that demon. But he didn't find him in that shell. But he took the shell. He killed the demon, took the shell. So Krishna blew his at the beginning of Kurukshetra, the battle of Kurukshetra, he blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. That's where he got it. Where did he get his Panchajanya shell? Fighting the demon and trying to retrieve the son of his dead son of his teacher. So he took that shell, the first time he blew it, he came out of the water and he went to the abode of Yamaraj. And he blew the shell. Calling Yamaraj. Yamaraj came immediately. Sir, yes, sir. We were in the army. We had to say, not yes, sir. We had to say, sir, yes, sir. So Yamaraj came, sir, yes, sir. You've taken the son of my teacher. I want him back. Yes, here's your son. So Krishna retrieved. So he retrieved the son and took him back to Shanipani Muni. This way he repaid the debt of knowledge he received from his guru. But this pastime shows how Yamaraj is also subordinate to Krishna. Now, how many demigods are there? 83 crores. A crore is 100,000. 83 crores of demigods. If we had time, but we don't because we have a program today, we could go down to each and every demigod and show practically how they are subordinate to the Ishwara Parama Krishna, Supreme Lord. So therefore it says Yajna Vai Vishnu, not Yajna Vai Brahma, Yajna Vai Yamaraj, Yajna Vai Indra, Yajna Vai Ganesh, with all due respect. Yajna Vai Vishnu, because Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahanam Yogati. He is supplying the desires of, fulfilling the desires of everyone. And we must perform Yajna, because just as we must acknowledge the gift of our parents, the gifts of our teachers, the gift of our guru, the gift of the king, the gift of the forefathers, the ancestors who invented all the things they were using. Thomas Edison, he discovered the light bulb in America. Yeah, we're using all these things. We have to acknowledge that somebody has worked very hard to do. So, you know, parents are working hard, and teachers are working hard to help us, and king is working hard, and forefathers, and demigods are also working. You can't accept a gift without acknowledging it. Otherwise, don't expect that you're going to get any more mercy after that. If you say, thank you, oh, my parents always taught me, always say thank you when you get a gift. A certain etiquette. Always acknowledge. You have to say, isn't it? Did your parents say thank you? Those of you who are parents, you always think, say thank you. Don't just take it, but say thank you. Spasiba. How do you say thank you in Polish? Cinque, bardzo, very much. This is etiquette. So we're getting so much. We're getting the rain at the wrong time. We're getting the light. We're getting the water. We're getting the wind. The purifiers, I'm the wind. I told Prahlada, I don't like wind. It's distracting. He said, but wind, if there was no wind, the air would remain impure and all the foul smells and this and all the smoke. And the wind, the purifiers, because I'm the wind. The wind takes it all the way to a distant place and purifies everything. We're getting all these things, but we're not acknowledging. We're not saying thank you. What is this? We're so foolish that we take these elements, we construct a house, and we call it ours. What is it? You took the elements, and you made it. You made it into a form. You called your house. But who created the elements? Someone created it. It didn't just pop out of the air, out of a void. Who? Krishna. And it's all being administered by the demigod. So you have to say thank you. And how do you say thank you? Yajna Vai Vishnu. That's why sacrifice was so important in Vedic culture. It was the priority, just like when you get up in the morning, you know, certain things you have to do before you start your day. And one of those things was yajna. We performed the sacrificial fire. We always hear about the sacrificial fire. But that all changed when Kali Yuga came, because there's no qualified persons to perform the yajna. Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. There's no Brahmins in Kali Yuga, but due to the influence of ignorance and passion, everyone's Shudra. Kalo Sudra Sambhavan. So therefore, the sacrificial fire has been extinguished. Inauspiciousness has become prevalent. Impurity. Sinful activity. it's become man a soul. But what to do? No, who, there's no one qualified. The Brahmins would light it just by chanting mantra. They would light it by their so pure they could say mantra. You know, and it would... So there's no qualified Brahmanas, so there, but still we have to acknowledge, still our duty to acknowledge, to become purified, to understand our subordinate position before God, how we are dependent, how we are not master, but we are servant. So how to, what yogi is there for this age? Very simple. Harinama, Harinam, Harinama eva kevalam, kulu nastev, 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 agatirnitha. This is the way of saying Svashiva. This is the yajna for this age. When there's yajna, there's rain. And the rain, it gives life to the wheat, to the grains and the fruits and the vegetables. So without yajna, there can be no foodstuffs. I think we had too long a kirtan yesterday. So much rain has come. Rain is welcome in one sense. Anyway, it rains in the morning, and it, by the afternoon, it's all going to be gone. We hope. It'll all be gone. We'll call upon everyone to help us. Like this. So yajna, the yajna in this age is accomplished through the sankirtan yajna, through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. In the beginning, I sent for a generation of men and demigods and blessed them that by the performance of this yajna, all desirable things will be bestowed upon you. Therefore, we see that the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are nicely maintained by the Lord. People are surprised, you know, they were just have these big Harinam parties, you know, you're not working, I mean, we're singing, we're dancing, having Harikatha, taking prasad, because we're doing things right, we're having the yajna, we're chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore the Lord is all material and spiritual prosperity is coming. So this purity is required in human society. Everyone must perform yajna, and if it's the duty of the priest to do it, because the Brahman is to do it, because people are so busy they don't have time to do it. So imperceptibly human society is benefiting by the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness going out and performing the yajna. This is how magnanimous the devotees are. We're working very hard to push on the Sankirtan movement, and people don't even know how, just by the fact that the air is being permeated by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And the books are going out to some degree, and prasadam is being distributed. These things are purifying this age of Kali. Prabhupada said this Sankirtan movement can hold back the tide of Kali Yuga. Now to hold back the tide of the ocean is an impossibility. It seems, how are you going to hold back the ocean? But it's possible by the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. It's like the sparrow once... she lost her egg. She laid her eggs near the ocean, and the ocean was coming to inundate. And she started pecking away at the ocean to drink the ocean so it wouldn't inundate her eggs. Oh, what is that? But Garuda, he took compassion. And he came and he said, "The ocean, stand back, ocean, let her eggs hatch." The power of a pure devotee held the ocean back. So the tide of Kali Yuga is inundating everyone with meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and auspicious men, suffering. But Prabhupada, who has brought this Sankirtan movement to the Western world, and Krishna, they can hold back the tide of Kali Yuga. Hold back. Whoa, hold out there. Let everybody become happy. Let everyone become blissful. Let everyone become Krishna conscious. So this is the important work that we are doing. You have to think of it like that. This is very important. I always say this is serious business. It's singing, it's dancing, it's Harikatha, and it's feasting. But what is it? We're holding back the tide of Kali Yuga. We're giving people the opportunity to become purified in Krishna consciousness, even without knowing it. That stupid little town yesterday, one street, hardly anybody on the street. Whoever was there was just kind of like really sudra and, you know, mode of ignorance. But we had to keep going up and down the street so that we could purify the people by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Because by the performance of sacrifice, everything becomes auspicious. So yajna by Vishnu, Krishna is the goal of that sacrifice. Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Yuga Dharma Yajna Vaivishnu Ki, Gaur Premanandi. I have a few more things to say, but I want to say it over there, because not everybody is as eager to hear Bhagavatam as you are. So I have a few things I want to say, but I'll say it at Prasadam. Shri Bhagavat Prasadam Ki.